Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Keeping up with the tech world can feel like a full-time job, right?
Yeah, especially with companies like Alibaba constantly evolving.
Exactly. So many moving pieces with them. And that's why we are doing this deep dive into their September 2024 earnings.
Yeah.
We've got a lot to unpack here. Their earnings call transcript, their presentation slides, and the press release.
Yeah, it's like getting a 360-degree view, you know?
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're going for with this deep dive. So whether you're an investor or just someone who is curious about the future of e-commerce, this is for you.
Absolutely.
So let's jump right in. How is Alibaba handling the competition in e-commerce? Because it's getting pretty intense out there.
It is, but you know what's interesting? Their core platforms, Taobao and Tmall, they're showing some promising signs of growth.
Really?
Yeah. One of the key things that they look at is GMV. You've probably heard that before. Gross merchandise volume.
Uh-huh.
That's basically the total value of goods sold on the platform, and that's been going up. And one of the reasons for that is people are buying more often.
So it's not just about attracting new customers, but getting the existing ones to come back and buy more.
You got it. And that shows they've got a pretty solid user base, people who are engaged and coming back for more. And we're not just talking about a small bump here. Their monthly active users, they actually hit a record high after their big 11.11 global shopping festival.
Wow.
Right. And their 88 VIP loyalty program. Have you heard about that?
Mm-hmm.
That now has over 46 million members.
That's a lot of loyal shoppers.
It is.
So they've got people coming back for more. But what are they doing to actually improve the experience? Because competition is fierce. They can't just sit back and relax.
You're absolutely right. They are definitely not resting on their laurels. They are investing a lot in user experience. So think smoother logistics, better service, and even making the platform easier to use.
Oh.
Yeah, making that interface more intuitive. And they're also trying out some new things to generate revenue.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, for example, they introduced this 0.6% software service fee, which is pretty standard in the industry, but it helps them to kind of have a predictable revenue stream.
Right. Makes sense.
And it looks like merchants are pretty okay with this, especially since they've also rolled out this AI-powered marketing tool called Kwanzantui.
Hold on. AI-powered marketing tool. So they're using AI to help merchants sell more effectively.
Yes. And merchants seem to like it because it helps them target their ads better and get better results.
It's getting pretty sophisticated.
Yeah, it is. And there's another thing they did that could be a real game changer.
Okay, I'm listening.
They opened up Taobao and Tmall to WeChat Pay.
Wait, WeChat Pay? Seriously? That's huge. WeChat has so many users in China. Wasn't Alibaba trying to build their own payment system to compete with WeChat?
They were. But this partnership kind of suggests a bit of a shift in their strategy, and it's actually a really smart move because it opens them up to this whole new group of users who just prefer to use WeChat Pay.
Yeah, it's like they're saying, hey, we want everyone to be able to shop with us however you want to pay.
Exactly. It's a pretty bold move, and it'll be interesting to see how that impacts their position in the e-commerce market. Now let's switch gears a bit and talk about another area where Alibaba is making a splash to the cloud.
Alibaba Cloud, right? I know they've been putting a lot of effort into cloud computing, but what makes them stand out in that space?
Their focus on AI, I mean, their cloud intelligence group revenue grew 7% this quarter.
Oh, wow.
Which is actually faster than the previous quarters, and a big chunk of that is thanks to AI.
Okay, but how much of their cloud business is actually AI related? Is it just like a small part, or is it something bigger?
Their AI-related product revenue has actually been growing at triple-digit rates year over year for the past five quarters.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's not just a tiny piece. It's significant. they're clearly serious about this.
So they're not just riding the AI wave, they're like betting big on it.
Exactly. Right. And they're putting their money where their mouth is, investing heavily in infrastructure because they're anticipating that demand for AI-powered services is just going to keep going up.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And they're making their AI technology more accessible too. Like, they significantly reduced prices for API calls to their Tongi models.
Tongi models.
Yeah. These are powerful AI models that developers can use to build their own applications.
Oh, okay. So they're making it easier and cheaper for people to use AI.
Exactly. And they also upgraded their QN large language model family and even released the open source Qwen 2.5 series.
Open source. So anyone can use and modify their AI models.
That's right. And it's a pretty smart move because it encourages innovation and collaboration in the AI community.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
By making their models open source, they're positioning themselves as a leader in the field.
So they're not just building cool AI stuff for themselves, they're trying to build a whole ecosystem around it.
You got it. And it really shows their belief that AI is just getting started and has the potential to transform industries.
It's a big vision.
It is. And it shows just how seriously Alibaba is taking the future of AI.
So we talked about Alibaba's core e-commerce business and their AI push.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got their hands in a lot of other areas too, right?
They do. And these other businesses are really interesting. I think they offer some insights into Alibaba's overall strategy.
Okay, so tell me more.
Well, one area they're really focusing on is international expansion. And there are two businesses that are leading the charge here, AliExpress and Trendyol.
AliExpress, I know that one. It's kind of like the global version of Taobao, right? Mm. But Trendyol, I'm not so familiar with that one.
Yeah, so Trendyol is actually Alibaba's e-commerce platform in Turkey.
Oh, interesting.
And they're doing really well. They're expanding into neighboring markets, and they're even starting to make moves into the Gulf region.
So it sounds like they're being very strategic with their expansion, targeting specific regions for growth instead of just trying to be everywhere at once.
Exactly. And it's working their international digital commerce group, which includes AliExpress, and Trendyol saw a 29% revenue growth this quarter.
Wow, 29%. That's a big jump. What's driving that growth?
Well, AliExpress is having success with their choice. Business model.
Choice.
Yeah. It's basically a curated selection of products with faster shipping times. Think of it as like a premium version of AliExpress that caters to shoppers who want speed and quality.
Oh, so it's kind of like they're trying to compete with Amazon Prime.
Yeah, you could say that they've also launched something called the AliExpress Direct model, which uses local inventories in overseas markets to make their fulfillment more efficient.
So they're getting smarter about logistics, making sure the products are closer to the customers.
Exactly. It makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, but what about profitability? Are these international ventures actually making money?
Yeah, that's a big focus for them. While they are investing in strategic markets for expansion, they're also really emphasizing operational efficiency in markets that have a clear path to profitability. They don't want to just chase growth for the sake of growth.
Makes sense. They are a business, after all, not a charity.
Right.
So let's talk about some of their other businesses, the ones that aren't e-commerce or cloud computing. What are they up to?
All right, well, let's start with Cainiao, their logistics network.
Okay.
They're really focused on strengthening their core capabilities and their connections with Alibaba's e-commerce businesses.
So it's all about creating that smooth experience from when a customer clicks buy to when that package arrives on their doorstep.
You got it. And then there's their local services group, which includes AMAP, their mapping and navigation service, and Alay.me, their food delivery platform.
Oh, yeah. Alay.me. I've used that before. It's like their version of Uber Eats.
Yeah.
Right? How are those businesses doing?
They're doing pretty well. They're growing steadily. Local services saw a 14% revenue growth, and they're starting to narrow their losses.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, they're getting bigger and more efficient, which is a good sign.
That makes sense. What about their digital media and entertainment business? I know they have Youku, their video streaming platform. How's that going for them?
Well, it's a competitive market, but they are making progress. Youku's losses are narrowing because they've been improving their advertising revenue and their content investment strategies.
So it seems like across all of their businesses, Alibaba is really zeroing in on becoming more efficient and profitable.
Yeah.
Would you say that's their top priority right now?
It's definitely a major focus, and you can see that in how they're approaching shareholder returns, even with the challenges they've faced. Alibaba is still pretty optimistic about the long-term impact of the Chinese government's economic stimulus policies.
So they're betting that the Chinese economy will bounce back and that will be good for their business.
That's their outlook, and they're putting their money where their mouth is. They've been aggressively buying back their own shares.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they spent $10 billion in the first half of the fiscal year doing that.
Wow.
Which has actually reduced their share count by 4.4%.
So they're buying back their own stock. What's the logic behind that?
Well, it's a signal to investors that they believe their shares are undervalued. They're putting their money where their mouth is, you know, showing confidence in the company's future.
So it's like they're saying, hey, we think our stock is a great deal right now, so we're going to buy some ourselves.
Exactly. And they're not stopping there. They're exploring different ways to continue that share buyback program and give more value back to their shareholders.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. Can you give me the big picture takeaway? What does all of this tell us about where Alibaba stands today and where they're headed?
Well, I think Alibaba is at a really interesting point. I think they're facing competition. They're dealing with economic uncertainty, but they're making some big bets on the future, especially when it comes to AI.
It sounds like they've got a lot going on.
They do, and that's what makes them so interesting to follow. They're not just reacting to change, they're trying to shape it. We were talking about Alibaba's strategy and how they're betting big on AI for growth.
But how does AI really fit into their core e-commerce business? I mean, aren't those two kind of separate things?
Well, not really think about AI as like the secret ingredient that can make the entire e-commerce experience better, you know?
Okay.
It can change everything from how people find products to customer service and even logistics.
So it's not about replacing e-commerce with AI. It's more like using AI to enhance it, make it better.
Exactly. Imagine AI algorithms that can give you super personalized product recommendations, like really accurate ones.
Okay, how would that work?
Well, they could look at your past purchases, what you've browsed before even your social media activity, to figure out what you'd probably like.
So like a personal shopper who knows you better than you know yourself?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, but also kind of creepy.
Yeah, there are definitely privacy concerns, but if it's done right, it can make shopping online so much easier and more enjoyable.
Yeah, I guess I could see that.
And personalization is just one part of it. AI could also totally change customer service.
Like those chatbots you see everywhere. Are those going to get a lot smarter?
Think beyond those basic chatbots. Imagine AI assistants that can answer complex questions, solve problems, give you personalized help 24/7.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, and it would free up human agents to deal with more complicated stuff.
Right, so it's not about replacing humans.
Right.
It's more about using AI to help them be more effective.
Exactly. And then there's logistics. That's a huge part of e-commerce, right? AI can figure out the best delivery routes, predict what inventory you need, even automate stuff in warehouses.
So it's like AI is this conductor behind the scenes, making sure everything runs smoothly.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Alibaba is really betting on the future of e-commerce with their focus on AI.
A bold vision and a little mind-boggling to think about. So if we take a step back and look at everything we've talked about today, what's the main takeaway for our listeners?
I think the big takeaway is that Alibaba is a company that's always moving and shaking. They're facing challenges head-on, adapting to the market, and they're putting a lot of resources into things like AI that they believe will help them grow in the future.
It sounds like they're not afraid to take risks and try new things.
Yeah, they're definitely not content to sit still, and that's what makes them so fascinating to follow.
Well said. So to wrap things up, we've really taken a deep dive into Alibaba's recent performance, looking at what's working well, the challenges they face, and their plans for the future.
We saw how they're handling the competition in e-commerce, how they're riding the AI wave and their push to be more efficient and profitable.
Hopefully this deep dive gave you a better understanding of where Alibaba stands and what their future might look like.
It's a constantly changing world out there, especially in tech, so keep learning and exploring.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and until next time, keep exploring.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.